This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
From the electricity in the stadium to the highlight reel plays, there's nothing quite like Dolphins football, and this season you can be there live to cheer them on. As the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats for any budget. Get off the couch and into the stands. Grab your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And we heard from Jacoby Brissett at the end of the first hour there. Some interesting comments from Dolphins QB2 talking about this Buffalo defense, how they were just coming after him. That's kind of how the Buffalo defense is. He said that's what they do. But he also had another comment there that kind of piqued our interest. I don't refer to myself as a backup quarterback. Seth, what are your thoughts on that comment?
Be calling him QB2, Travis. I don't know that you want to get caught in the hallway saying that to him over at the Baptist Health Training Complex. No, so two things stood out to me. One was I did not sense any panic in his voice, right? That's a veteran that's been around, that's lost games, that's won games, that understands there is more football to be played here. This is different than last year where you get knocked out of the playoffs and embarrassed on the way to doing so. So I think that that's what you want to hear from your leaders. Whether he is going to be starting next game or not, he is a guy that we heard all training camp that younger guys are looking up to. And so when a leader comes in and is calm and says, let's just go correct the things that need to be corrected, let's remember the things that worked well and enhance those, I think that that is good. That's what you need from leadership. But the second thing is exactly what you said. He says, I don't consider myself a backup quarterback. I don't take that as, oh, there's a quarterback controversy now. You know, somebody may run with that. That's a sexy thing to talk about. I don't see that at all. I just think he looks at himself as a guy who is a capable starter in the National Football League, and that's what I want. Yeah. I don't want a backup quarterback to come in, and he's scared, and he looks across the line, and you see fear in his eyes, and it's a deer in the headlights, and you don't know if you can win a game. You want a backup that goes in and believes in himself, right, Juice?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody should consider themselves 1A and 1Bs. You know, if you're worth anything, you should feel like you should be starting out there too. And I think that's more what I got from than anything. He's been a starter in this league, you know, from his years, you know, the 1 year in New England, the years in Indianapolis and being here. So it's a great situation that we have. You know, some teams don't have a guy that's ever the backup guy that's never had a snap in the league. So we've got a guy that's got that NFL experience, and I think that has to be his mentality. I'm sure he prepares every game like he's going to be in there after the first snap. He has to. Your backup guy has to do the same preparation that, you know, your starter does without the physical reps. You get more of the mental reps a lot of times. But Coach even said in his presser that Brissett's had a lot of work with the number one receiver. So there's no excuse for him not to go out there and be successful. But I like that mentality. And I think the locker room is going to feel the same way. You know, Tua is our guy, but we know that we can count on Jacoby to come in there and make some plays for us. And I think that's going to be the case. Who knows how long Tua is going to be out? You know, no fractures through x-rays. We'll see what the MRI says. But no matter what, Jacoby Brissett is our starting quarterback right now as we look at it, because he's the guy to finish the game right there.
Well, tell us about that. What can you expect from Tua coming off the rib injury? Because, you know, MRIs are or the x-ray, I should say, is negative. MRI coming tomorrow. What is it like dealing with that as a player, Juice? Obviously, as a receiver, you're going to go over the middle of the field. Yeah. I'm sure you've ran to Ray Lewis a couple times in the middle of the field. But as a quarterback, just kind of sometimes you're in a position where you're liable. You're at the offensive line's mercy in terms of the pass rush and the guys coming in. So with the rib injury, man, how does a quarterback approach that when he knows he's a little bit banged up in that area?
Well, the bottom line is there's nothing you can really do about it. You know, there's no treatment. They're going to do some stem and some ice and try to, you know, handle some, you know, inflammation. It's a pain thing. You know, with the ribs, you know, not even if they're not fractured, you can't breathe with the rib situation. You know, and they're going to try to protect it as much as possible. You know, probably going to be some injections. Unfortunately, that's part of this game, and sometimes they abuse that, the injections. But at the same time, though, man, I mean, what can you do right there? I just feel bad, you know, because if he could have came back in this game, it would tell you how severe the injury is. I think the pain's going to get worse, because when you get it during the game, it's more adrenaline and you're good to go. But by the time he goes to lay down tonight, you know, it's going to be hell, man. It really is, man. And then the breathing part of it is one of the worst things you can do. You know, I was talking a little bit. I've had some injuries where it's so much pain that you feel like almost a heartbeat in there. And Seth was talking about it during the break, something that JT went through. Man, it's some of these injuries, and especially those like that, they're tough to deal with. And people just don't get it. It's, it's just the ribs. You can cover it up. Get banged in your ribs. Get a broken rib or broken cartilage, and then try to breathe walking up and down your steps and see how little pain there is.
I can still write a press release, you know, with my ribs all busted out, Juice. But here's the question, though. Does it matter – what side of the body is it? You know, as a left-handed quarterback, do you think it matters what side of the body it's on, or a rib injury is a rib injury, and that, you know?
You know, it's kind of funny.
I'm just curious.
Well, I know. That's a great point, because honestly, I mean, you think about it. If you're a defensive guy, I might come blitz from the rib side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to hit him on this side and see how much he can take of it, you know? It really doesn't matter. Cause I think more than anything, it's the breathing, because everything's going to expand. And, you know, instead, we just talked about it, with, you know, just a second ago. Even sleeping becomes a problem. Walking becomes a problem when it comes to ribs, man. And so, I just hope that X-rays have already come back negative. I hope the MRI doesn't show anything bad. But bottom line is, it's going to be painful for a long time.
Well, it's a really good thing that Jacoby Brissett sees himself as a starting quarterback, if that's the case. So, but I guess that remains to be seen. But you just said something about, you know, you made a joke about blitzing him to the rib side. And I had a question for you. So we heard Dave Hyde there in the interview ask Jacoby a question about, did they blitz you? Did you feel like they were blitzing you differently than they did early in the game? And Jacoby kind of laughed off the question and said, well, I pretty much started the early in the game. But we talked about this off air. That first drive, Tua was blitzed twice early, got sacked both times. And, you know, I asked you, who's that on? Is there a responsibility of the quarterback to sense that pressure even pre-snap and make an adjustment? And you made an interesting point, Juice, about what that says about the opposing team's game plan when they're going to attack a quarterback early like that with the blitz.
Right, right. Our inability to protect, you know, against the blitz, our inability to have a back that can step up and take on a big linebacker or a blitzing linebacker, it's going to be replicated. It's a copycat league. They're going to continue to do that, those things. And until we can make it work, we can fix those problems, they're going to continue to come at us. You know, I don't care how good our guys are on the outside. You look at drops and bad passes and stuff like that. Most of the time, that's due to pressure, you know. You see other guys back there. I'm looking at some of these other quarterbacks with all this time in the world to sit there and pat it, and find an open guy, or be able to escape and find an open guy. You know, until the Dolphins can figure out this blitz problem or this front four problem, this protection problem, we're going to get it every single week. And Buffalo didn't even wait to start doing this, Travis. They started right away with Tua. And you know what? They said, they've got the same offensive line in front of Jacoby. They got the same running backs trying to pick us up. We're going to do the exact same thing. You know, they weren't worried about either quarterback beating them in the blitz situation. And that's a problem. Until they can fix that up front, that's a huge problem. Until we can fix it on our side of the ball.
But how do you fix it?
That's a great question. We got guys.
A lot more than we're paying them to get that answer.
Come on, man. We got a two-hour postgame. Or it should be fixed, right? What do you think?
That's why I asked the question.
of protecting their QB1s. We got two QB1s.
That's,
you know,
right.
They got to take pride in protecting them, man. Even the backs, everybody's involved. And I saw a couple times we had to bring in Gesicki and almost go max protect. Now when you go max protect, you got two or three guys on the pattern with six guys in coverage. You can't win games like that. You know, so, I mean, we've got to figure it out up front with the front five. And until the front five can figure it out, we got a big problem.
And there were some instances where Gesicki was in the sideline while Seathan Carter and Durham Smythe and even Adam Shaheen were getting snaps. So I'll be curious to see the snap counts for Gesicki. He had a moment there in the second quarter. He was really eating. But I kept seeing him go to the sideline, over to his bag, and kind of looking for towels and just not in the game at some point, Seth.
So I was just going to say, and you're right. I mean, that was the case, and I don't know how much of that is where they're trying to bring in guys who are more. And by the way, Mike's response, his reaction to the blocking question in the media availabilities this week was really interesting. But maybe guys who are more known for blocking, they're in the NFL because of the quality of blocking that they bring to the tight end position. I imagine that whole max protect concept was important. But Mike was more involved with the game plan. That was a major concern, particularly of yours, Juice. I don't know if it was just a Penn State thing.
Oh,
but you have one of your major playmakers who did not have a catch in the season opener. Much more productive. I'm sure he would rather come away with the win today than three catches for 41 yards. But if we're looking for positives here, you got to be a little bit encouraged that they were able to get him more involved.
He had 3 for 41 today. I want to come back and talk about both him and Jalen Waddle on the other side. And we're going to try to find a drive to talk about for the drive of the game as well. But two more quick points I want to make to you guys before we get out of here for this break. There was two plays to me that were really indicative of how this game was going to go, and it was early on for both quarterbacks. And it was an RPO look where Tua tried to find a slant to Devontae Parker, the very successful play they saw last week, right? The one that kind of put the game away in that fourth quarter drive, backed up against their own goal line. He throws a quick rip to Parker. They convert, get out of there with a victory. The Bills squatted on that route today, on that first play from Tua, and that's where the pressure got there. He didn't have the quick outlet, takes a sack. Jacoby comes in, and it was another one of those plays where they motion someone across the formation, and he fakes to the flat, and Jacoby's all of a sudden in this, like, open stance, OJ, where his hips are open to the receiver, and he's trying to, like, side-cock that ball around the guy, and it looked like Buffalo knew it was coming, and the Miami Dolphins are going to have to find a way to react to that information being out there on tape against this offense. Now, we'll come back and talk about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Again, the final score, Dolphins 0, Buffalo 35 here from Hard Rock Stadium. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. And we're going to go ahead and hear from Xavien Howard here in just one second, who actually is the man who kind of spearheaded our drive of the game today. Let's go ahead and hear from Xavien Howard's interception in the game today.
Second and 15 now, back at the 16-yard line of Buffalo. Allen's got an empty backfield, trips to the right. Three on the play clock, 2-1. Just got it off. Back to throw, looking.
Oh, X picked that off.
Interceptor. What a great interception by Xavien Howard. His first of the year after leading the NFL with 10 a year ago. He steps in front of a receiver and makes a great catch.
He had to go down low to get it. What an interception. We watch X, man, save the game a week ago, and another big takeaway for the Dolphins defense and the X, man.
So Xavien Howard, his first interception of the season. Last week got his first forced fumble and fumble recovery to go off of 10 picks a year ago and a forced fumble in that great 2020 season. The drive of the game coming up. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Cespresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. And guys, this drive of the game, usually offensive, but when you don't score any points, we're going to have to look at the defense, and that was the drive of the game for the Miami Dolphins, ending in an Xavien Howard interception up against Stephon Diggs. And there was, let's see, 4 or 5 plays on that drive. The second and 15 play, the Dolphins get a pick and get the ball back in scoring range. Unfortunately, cannot do anything with it there. But Xavien Howard, guys, and one of my points here in this game, or this drive, this kind of game, was last year, it was Noah Igbinoghene matching up on Stephon Diggs after Byron Jones went down early in that game. And you look at the kind of athletic profiles of these cornerbacks. Xavien Howard's, he didn't blow the doors off the combine in a way that would tell you he's a plus athlete. And so with Stephon Diggs, maybe you put your more agile, mobile guys in that position. But today, I thought Xavien Howard-Juice against Stephon Diggs, man, that was good on good.
Yeah, he is the man. He really is. Needs some. He's proved it over and over again. We talked about, you know, the contract extension, how it's warranted. But I mean, that's what you want. What you have to do in this league, you know, especially within your division, is if they got a couple of receivers, you got to make sure you got a couple of good cover guys. And we got a couple of really, really good cover guys when it comes to Byron and X. But X, man, he thrives against the best receiver on the other team. You know, I thought, you know, so I think Jason Taylor, it was either Jason or Channing maybe in the pregame show, was talking about, you know, a marriage. You know what I mean? I want him to shadow, put a ring on him, because I want him to be married to him.
That sounds like a Channing.
Yeah,
I can't confirm it, but that sounds like something.
I think it was Channing in the pregame show. I want him married to Stephon Diggs all game. You know what I mean? Put a ring on it. You know, and he's up to the task all the time. That was an incredible pick. If nothing else, it would be a PBU. You know, not an interception right there. To make that play,
we celebrate
there,
that. Great play.
Yeah,
right?
It was a great play, and he does it every week for us, man. You know, we just need more from more people. X can't be the guy that, you know, especially on that side of the ball. You can do so many things on offense, but on defense, but you can control the game on offense. And X is that, you know, that dude that showed better hands than anybody on our team today, unfortunately.
Can we talk some more about that, Juice? I mean, you know, you were talking the jugs machine. You were saying that earlier, and yeah, you can go back and work on the jugs, and you should. You should work on technique and everything else, but that doesn't replicate the game speed and somebody breathing down your neck and everything. But, you know, you said that it can be contagious, but it's tough to watch that. And you see, I'm not saying it was an easy catch, Devontae Parker in the end zone, but, boy, if he hauls that in, and we've seen him do it before, maybe it's a different game at that point. Albert Wilson had a couple of drops, and we were so excited about Albert in training camp. What needs to happen here for these guys to start looking those balls in and making those plays?
Yeah, man, I always talk about hands. Catching the ball is all about confidence, bro. You know, and some guys, you know, Devontae doesn't drop that pass. He usually doesn't drop that pass. So that's going to be corrected. That's an easy high point ball. No pressure. Nobody. I mean, he mistimed his jump. I don't know what happened there, but usually he brings that pass down. So we'll give him a haul pass on that one, even though it was a big drop. But for Albert, I just worry about his confidence right now. You know, having a COVID year off last year in 2020, coming back, you know, who knows what. He had a hell of a camp going in, like you talked about, but then he got a little banged up again. Now he's back trying to get back in the mix. He's got to get that confidence back that he had when I saw him and Jakeem Grant racing each other down the field. You know, that's the Albert Wilson that we know we have, but we got to get it back from him, man. So when they're working in the middle, and it takes a special dude to work in the middle. It really does, because people are coming from all angles. So the catch it becomes a little bit of a problem for some guys. But you got to know you're going to get popped anyways. Not like I used to get popped, because the rules have changed, you know. And just make the catch and start making plays. So he's got to get the confidence in his head that'll translate to his hands, man.
And those were plays in space. Those were not high traffic.
Not contested. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, and even tough passes. What I saw a couple times, too, was a ball that might have been a little bit behind him. But quarterbacks see what's in front of you.
Right.
So if they throw one a little bit behind you, I'm thinking it's to protect me. So turn my body around, catch it, get upfield. Hmm. You know, so he had catches that he 1,000% should have made. And a lot of times when you have those drops, especially our 0-for-4 on third down situations, those are game changers. They change the game. They change the game, especially when the team turns around and we get 0 points and they go down and get 7. So it could be, a 10-point swing or a 14-point swing. Either way, you know, so it's a tough deal, man. So confidence. These guys should have the confidence during the NFL, but sometimes they show lack of confidence, and that's unfortunate, and that's what happened today a lot of times.
One of the things that gets me is, did Buffalo have any drops today that you can recall? Because we had a classic South Florida rainstorm, and right about, you know, second quarter or so, it just started coming down, and it was off and on throughout the day, as it typically is here in the afternoon this time of year. I don't think Buffalo had any drops, if not more than one or two. And so for Miami to have that many when they practice in this stuff, I mean, back in OTAs, what was the big story when Tua had a handful of interceptions in a practice and a torrential downpour? That was all anybody was talking about. But you're out there, you practice through that stuff, you think that the conditions would be in your favor when you're playing at your home field, but that wasn't the case today. And I thought the big story here, and kind of looking at the drive of the game and some of the drive logs here, Dolphins had drives start at the minus 42, the plus 24, and then Waddle's muffed punt was right around the 40-yard line as well. So that's three drives where number one drive, you're already in field goal range. Two drives, you're a first down or two away from being in field goal range. I mean, Seth, that's a worst-case scenario. That could be a 14-9 game there if you're just not making those mistakes at halftime.
Well, right. That's what we started off at the top of the show and saying that, is that, look, Buffalo put up 35 points. You know, we're not excusing that away. And again, some of those things that happen late, I think you got to take into consideration the circumstances. But they came out, they punched us in the mouth, scored 14 points early. But this team was in position to put points on the board and didn't. And I just think that, you know, the talent level, you can't leave points on the board like that. You can't. Those opportunities that are missed, and especially – this team is not one that has proven yet that they can hit the 70-yarder at this right. point in time. You know, we hope that there are guys on this roster that can do it. We believe that there are guys on this roster, but we haven't seen it happen yet. And when that kind of pressure, you know, maybe you don't have the time to sit back and wait for a guy to get open and hit him 60 yards down the field. And so when you're dinking and dunking and trying to get 10 yards here and 5 yards here and 8 yards there, and you finally get in a position to score, you got to put points on the board.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think, honestly, you know, those – early 14 were tough on our team. Our defense actually settled down. I think the biggest thing, what I took away, was after the half, Buffalo went right down the field and scored another touchdown. And that, for me, knowing our inability to move the football, was kind of the nail in the coffin. I know we were talking about the game, but some people were talking about game was over. And me always.
It was me.
Like, no,
it was me.
No. No, I've had other people like, somebody said, I got a text, oh, there's always next year. Like, the season's over.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Well,
that's not just the game. You know what I mean?
That's what people need to take. Just chill out.
Football's an emotional
take a
sport,
deep breath. It's an emotional sport, but golly, there's 15 games left.
It drives me crazy.
How many times I have to say that today? So people need to just relax.
But that third quarter opening drive for Buffalo, you know, the 8 play, 75 yards was critical, especially considering how the inability we had to move the football going to that point.
But that's my point, Juice. If you score, whether it's the 3 field goals, if you have 3, 6, 9, whatever it is, if you have some points on the board, I don't know that you react the same way as you do when you fall behind 21-0.
Does it help the proverbial levee not break in the way it did? Because, I mean, we talked about this. I think Buffalo's first 2 drives were touchdowns. They went 7 consecutive possessions without points.
Right.
If you do that against Buffalo, you think you're coming out of here with a victory, because
right.
typically in a game there's about 11, 12 possessions. Now, this game was way longer than that, a marathon of a game with like 15 or 16 possessions on either side. But when you come off the field, Juice, after getting that fourth, that fifth, that sixth stop in a row, and the offense continually cannot move the ball, at some point, don't
but
you just kind of say,
the ball. They couldn't
finish the drive for sure. Does the defense come onto the field thinking like, I mean, I don't want to say like, what's the point, but at this point, like, nothing we do is good enough.
Yeah, they're pissed off. They are. I'm not gonna lie, man. You know, bottom line, do your job. You know what I mean? And offense, you know, was not doing their job, and you know, and then defense at the end couldn't do their job. So then it looks like a worse game than it really was.
Complimentary football.
Exactly right. We talked about that a little bit, right? Yeah. And so it's so frustrating, man. It's so frustrating sometimes we played when, you know, we go down and score 7 play drive, 80 yards, and then we come back and defense gives up 3 plays, 80 yards right back on them. You know, it's kind of been that way for this team. Last week, defense was able to hold it in there, and offense were able to take advantage of some situation. This week, different story. Defense did a pretty good job at the beginning, but then they're done. They're frustrated. They're tired. They still need to sit in there and do their job.
And under Brian Flores, this is traditionally a team that gets better as the year goes along. They'll have that work cut out for them here in week number 3 and year number 3 under Brian Flores. Again, your drive of the game is a defensive one. 5 plays. It ends in Xavier Howard's first interception of the year off of Josh Allen in coverage on Stephon Diggs. The Lexus drive of the game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Buffalo 35, Miami 0. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is Miami Dolphins football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins games always play here in Miami. AM 560, FM 99.9, HD2 The Joe, WQAM.
Season is here, and so is your chance to experience the thrilling Dolphins football live and in the stands, as the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster, has got you covered with the largest selection of seats of any ticketing marketplace. Don't miss any of the action. Grab your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And we're going to go ahead and throw now to audio from Dolphins star cornerback Xavien Howard, who had the big play of the game, you know, in a tough game, the biggest play of a 35-0 defeat that you can have. He finds an interception to come off of last year's double-digit pick season. Let's go ahead and go to Xavien Howard now at his post-game press conference.
Yeah, so you talk about going up against Stephon Diggs. You got him, you facing off against
us. It was good. You know, I look for the matchup every week, so, you know, obviously, his team did a good job. They won, so.
X, what's the mood in the locker room after a
funeral? Like a
funeral? X, what was that little interaction between you and Steph at the end of that game?
You know, it's football, man. You know, we respect each other. After the game, he was like, good job and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just about a respect.
And what happened on the touchdown catch? It looked like he lost his footing, you lost the shoe. What?
Yeah, I think he had fell. You know, Josh Allen being Josh Allen, scrambling and found him. You know, that's what he do. So, you know, we was looking forward for that, to him to scramble and throw the ball. So he did that.
It seemed like despite Tua going down the early 46-yard touchdown run, you guys were able to get some stops and get some turnovers. What happened in the second half where they were able to just drive down and start to really convert some drives?
I feel like we ain't win in all three phases, and, you know, we just got to get better each day. You know, we take it one game at a time, you know, learn what we did, what we messed up this game, and, you know, move on.
Where's this team's level of confidence in Jacoby in terms of him being able to lead you to victories?
We're very confident in Kobe, man. You know, we talking trash at practice, me and Jacoby. You know, it's the next man up mentality, and, you know, we just got to do it. Whatever he lead us to, we're going to do it.
Surprised
from
when he played today?
No, I'm not surprised. No, just playing against him at practice and, you know, seeing that from him, so I wasn't surprised about what he was doing.
I mean, like, you guys as a team?
No, he wasn't.
Juice, Stephon Diggs' team did well, Xavien Howard says
that. He almost gave Diggs some props, right? And then he said, Stephon did, no, then he, no, the team played well. You know, and they talk about the respect they have from each other. I think because X did a hell of a job against him, man. He had that one long catch at the end, you know. And you know, sometimes, you know, Seth, I've done it before myself, where I go, we could be up 28-0, and I haven't had a big play against a corner that's been talking trash, and you got to find a way to give me the ball. Even though we probably shouldn't throw that, I've had some coordinators give me opportunities still, you know, because I'm pissed off on the sideline
right
when our team is winning big, you know. And so I think that's what X is really talking about. X is probably honestly expecting run at the end of that game, which we all should be expecting run. And he gets a big catch at the end, Stephon does. But X had his number all game long. You know, he showed a little bit of respect. He said they got respect for each other. But at the same time, there was a dig on Diggs at the end of there. That's my opinion.
Just a little one. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot he could say, right? I mean, he walked out of here with his head high. But when you lose like that, I guess there isn't too much that he can say. But to your point, we don't know what's going on down on the field. We have no idea what those guys are saying to each other. So whatever Diggs was saying, it must have left a bad taste in Howard's mouth because he wasn't giving him any credit.
You know what I found interesting was that this team has always played left cornerback, right cornerback under this defense, and that even goes back to Sam and Pat, right? They were on the same side of the field regardless. 10-on-10, 10-on-10.
10-on-10, 10-on-10, leave me alone.
But it wasn't the case this time around. I thought I'll have to go back and look to be sure, but I'm pretty sure X traveled on some of the plays, because I think on one of the plays that you talked about Stephon having the big catch, I think that came on the opposite side from where he normally aligns. So I'll be curious to get a look at that on tape and see if they just said, hey, X, get married to Stephon Diggs, like you mentioned. That was something we talked about
or
earlier.
Or if he said it,
if he said it. I want him, right?
I want him, yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he could
have said, look, I'm not letting this guy go.
Oh, yeah, kind of like in basketball, man. You know, you got a guy out there that's dogging somebody out in the court, you know. You got to be the guy that said, look, like Kobe or Mike. Mike could be like, yo, I got him then. Let me get him, you know. And if you got a guy that dominates, and Stephon had a hell of a season against us last year, I want X to be the one that went and got paid this year.
Fair.
I want him to say, I want that guy. I want to shadow this guy, whether it's in man or zone. But you have to do both. because you can't just shadow half the time and show that it's man when you shadow or zone when you don't, or you know, vice versa. You got to shadow the whole time. You can still play zone, you know. But I want Stephon Diggs to see me every single time. And it's like I had Ty Law that way. Ty Law was in my face the whole damn game, and I got tired of his ass, you know. He was tough to deal with, bro, you know. So that's what you want. You want a guy that's – all I got to do is study Stephon Diggs all week. It's going to be a good week for me.
He did say, I look for that matchup every single week, so we'll see who he gets next week in Las Vegas. Maybe it's Darren Waller because they threw the ball to him about 20 times on Monday Night Football the other week. I didn't see the today's game with them beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they went after Darren Waller over and over again. And, you know, just looking at Stephon Diggs' stat line here, before – the 41-yard reception at the end of the game, which, you know, I can take or leave that. He had 3 catches for 19 yards and a touchdown, and he kind of got lost on the touchdown in a sense where it was more the pass rush because Emmanuel Ogbah comes in and he jumped. Why do you jump on Josh Allen? You know he wants to pump fake you. He jumped, and then Josh Allen has the big arm to be able to throw the ball from one sideline to the opposite sideline across the end zone for the touchdown.
Crazy.
And that's how that drive ends up in the end zone with 14-point lead for the Buffalo Bills. So a tough break there. But Xavien Howard, you guys mentioned it. Man, he looks good. He looks the part. He looks like the player the Dolphins paid to come back here and be that shutdown corner, along with Byron Jones, who just real quick, Juice, tell me about your Byron Jones breakdown, because we were talking about that play where he almost had a pick, but it almost looked like he batted the ball down rather than turn the hands around and make the catch.
It wasn't even close to a pick. It was more of a he's playing a little volleyball right there, or actually he was trying to block a punt. Byron's got to get confident. He's another guy. I see him working all the time. I know he's got jugs machines going at him. That one right there, hand position was terrible, Travis, first of all. And most of the time, you go at a ball and it's low with your hands above it, you're going to do exactly what he did, which is pounding into the ground. You know what I mean? He needed to get under there and cradle that thing and try to make a play right there. Byron's always seems in great position, but he's got to turn some of those PBUs into interceptions. They have to. It has to change at some point.
And if he does, this defense can really take off at that point and become, you know, what they want to be ultimately. Let's go ahead and pause for 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Dolphins games always play here in Miami. AM 560, FM 99.9, HD2, The Joe, WQAM.
It's time for Dolphins football parties. Take home gating to the next level with hot and delicious Totino's Pizza Rolls. Let's go ahead and get to the rest of the NFL in your Week 2 landscape. Some out-of-town scores here. Let's get that music fired up and go around the NFL here real quickly. On Thursday night, the week started in Washington with the Washington football team taking down the Giants 30-29. Crazy football game there. Justin Fields comes in for an injured Andy Dalton and takes the Bears to victory 2017 over Joe Burrow and the Bengals. The Browns get on the board this season with a 31-21 victory over the Houston Texans. The Rams in Indianapolis get their second win under Matt Stafford, 27-24 over the Colts. The Patriots put it to Zach Wilson with 4 interceptions. They win 25-6 over the Jets. The Niners, 17-11 winners over the Philadelphia Eagles. The Raiders, 26-17 in Pittsburgh, get a road victory there to go to 2-0. The Panthers take down the Saints, 26-7 at home, 2-0 for the Panthers. And the Broncos improve to 2-0 with a 23-13 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Current games in progress. Cardinals trailing the Vikings 24-30. The Falcons trailing the Buccaneers 28-10 in Tampa Bay. The Cowboys are up at halftime, 14-11 over the LA Chargers. And the Seahawks up on the Titans, 24-9 at halftime, with tonight's game coming your way, Chiefs at Ravens. Don't want to miss that one. Guys, we talked about the rookies, the first-round rookie draft picks for the Miami Dolphins at the end of the last segment. Jalen Waddle, Juice, finishes this game 6 catches for 48 yards, and he lost a fumble. And it was another one of those plays where the Dolphins were in position to maybe make a play, make something happen for himself there towards the end of the game to get them in or the end of the first half, I should say, to get themselves in position to make this a football game. He muffs the punt, loses it, goes back to the Bills. What'd you make of the Dolphins' first-round draft pick, Jalen Waddle's performance?
He had a tough day. You know, he had he did some things right, but I'm going to tell you what. You know, we know what he can do, but at times out there, man, you can see him pressing, trying to make too much happen. You got to let the game come to you a little bit more. You know, I know, you know, he had 8 targets on the 6 receptions. I think the other 2 might have been a drop. 1 was a drop, sure. But then the muff punt, trying to make something happen. You know, most important thing in this game, obviously, is ball security. What I saw was a young guy out there pressing, trying to show his, you know, his first round status, gene or whatever it is that you want to call it. He's trying to show that he's worthy of that first-round status. But I'm going to tell you what else these guys do. And this is, he looks at the other guys. He looks at Smith in Philadelphia. He looks at Jamar Chase in Cincinnati. He sees all these other guys that he's going to be compared against, and he wants to be out there making plays as well. And I love that about it. I mean, when I was in high school, I compared my stats as a running back to Desmond Howard and Robert Smith. Every Saturday morning, you look at the plain dealer, Big Seth, and I'm like, what'd they do last night compared to what I did last night? These guys are the same way. And I think Jalen Waddle knows that he can make plays that can help this team be successful, and sometimes you press.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, and I was going to say, Juice, it looked to me like he was pressing, but don't you kind of want a guy that feels like he can be the one that makes the difference or gives us a spark or makes the big play that gets the Dolphins back in the game?
Yeah, yeah. And I think what we're running into here is, you know, you talk about Gesicki, you talk about Albert Wilson, you talk about, you know, Jalen Waddle. You also got Park. We got guys that feel they all can do that, and when they don't, when they're not involved, you can kind of see it in their body language, man. You know, so I think that we want everybody to feel that way, but at the same time, I told you we were up 28-0 maybe, and I'm still mad that I'm not getting opportunities. Everybody wants to go out there and shine, man, and we do love that part about everybody, man. You know, so yeah, I'm with you. I want a guy.
He's getting his looks.
He's getting plenty of looks. He's got to make plays, but you know, sometimes, like I said, especially as a young guy, instead of letting the game come to you, you start pressing. I think at times he was pressing.
And I talked about this all throughout training camp. You know, the offense in many ways was structured around what this kid does well with some of the motion, the pre-snap motion, the return motion. We saw them basically scheme up a touchdown for him last week in New England, where he comes across the formation, goes back and catches that ball and finds the pylon. I thought that was a great example of his run after the catch ability and his athletic ability. Now, he had some, you know, I guess lapses in concentration, some moments where it just didn't happen for him today, but I still, at the end of the day, when the ball was in his hands, I just felt the most confidence about this Dolphins offense when he had the football because of his ability to both break big plays, to hang on to the football when he does make those exciting catches down the seam. And, you know, there was, I think it was a third and long, and he catches a screen pass, and he gets it 1 yard short of the sticks. He finds a way to make guys miss, and it hasn't happened yet. Eventually it's going to, Seth. Eventually he's going to break one of these plays where he breaks a tackle, and he's off to the races, and there's nobody in front of him. Show him your taillights, and this place is going to erupt. So it's going to happen.
I believe it's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen often. I think that that's just what we have seen so far. And not only do you think it, and I think it, it looks to me like the coaching staff and
certainly
both quarterbacks seem to think it as well, because they're finding a way to get him the ball. I mean, he had 6 receptions last week, 6 more this week to lead the team in receptions. They're getting the rock to him. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Right. Not in any way, shape, or form. Now, the other Dolphins first-round draft pick, Jalen Phillips, in this game. Now, I kind of talked about him on the preview show about how I thought he was going to be a real focal point in this game, Juice, because we talked about this all week long. Pittsburgh really, really flustered Josh Allen with a 4-man pass rush. They blitzed one time in that game, and I was so curious to see how Brian Flores might attack this Buffalo Bills offense, because what do the Dolphins do? They play man coverage and they blitz you. They're not going to sit back and wait. But they did more of that in this game, and I thought, you know, Phillips and Ogbah had a chance to really make their stamp on the game. Did you think they did any of that in this contest?
No. I don't think they did. And let's talk about this, because don't think that Buffalo didn't look at the film they had last week against Pittsburgh and know that we got to make some changes. You know, the way that Pittsburgh's able to get at him with the front four and contain Josh Allen, you know, they had to make some changes. So, of course, what we talked about earlier being a copycat league, that our guys would have to do the same thing, and our guys couldn't get there because Buffalo made that adjustment. You know, Phillips and Ogbah, man, you know, I saw a couple times where one guy was blocking Ogbah, and then, you know, you get some help because there's no help, there's no danger anywhere else. The one-on-ones, you know, when we talk about back in the day, you know, where JT was getting doubled and Adewale or Trace got one-on-ones, they would take advantage of them. So when you got some other guys getting doubled or got people helping them, we got to win those one-on-one battles. You look at the defensive linemen, they're way better athletes than the offensive linemen are. So how do you not beat them, you know, when a quarterback's back there patting the rock a little bit? So I think that no matter what, those guys up front have to figure out a way to start putting more pressure on quarterbacks in order for us to be successful. Our DBs can guard a guy for 2, 3, 4 seconds. When it comes 5 and 6 seconds, then we got a problem, you know. And so that's been the biggest issue so far. Whereas our QB1A and QB1B, they had zero time. Our receivers couldn't even get going before they were getting pressure. You know, so that's the difference, man. You got guys that get at quarterbacks right away. It affects the whole point of the game. Everybody always says it. You hit the quarterback and the whole team feels it. And we saw it today.
You get him down to the ground too, because this is a quarterback that so often gets either in the grasp or gets under pressure, and he just Houdini's his way out of there, whether it's with the size or the athletic ability. I mean, at one point in this game, Juice, they were running straight quarterback sweeps, and he just finds a way to win the edge. He rushed for 35 yards on 5 carries. But passing-wise, it was by far his worst performance going back to his rookie season against the Miami Dolphins. 17 for 33, 179 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick and a sack, but a 75.2 quarterback rating. If you get that every week out of this defense, you got to feel good about it. Now, you mentioned the pressure from Emmanuel Ogba. Him and Andrew Van Ginkel wind up splitting a sack, so both those guys have a half a sack on the day. But just all things told, all things taken away here, just not enough in this game, Seth, from offensive, defensive, special teams. Just a really out-of-character game from this Miami Dolphins team.
Well, that's exactly what it was. And, you know, let's hope it's an anomaly on the schedule this season. We're at the point now. Obviously, we've got to finish this post-game show, and there's going to be two more hours here on WQAM. But I'm ready to turn the page. I do not want to say that this is the mark of this year's Miami right. Dolphins team. I don't think it's fair. I think it's too early to say that. It was ugly. It was ugly early and often. Nobody feels good driving home about this right now, but it's over. Yeah. And so, you know, we have to start focusing on what's coming up next.
Yeah, and you said it best early in the show, Big Seth. This is not a typical Miami Dolphins, Coach Flores.
It's not.
Troy Stratford, I talked to him earlier today too. He said, feel the same way. We're not seeing the Dolphin team that we're used to seeing. So let's just talk it up like you said. This is a bad day. It was a really bad day, and I would not expect to see this type of performance happen again, from the drops, the fumbles, muffs, penalties, all this other stuff that right. happened. I don't expect that to happen for this team again.
And if it does, then that's a different conversation.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, the reaction to one game always kind of gets me a little bit. It's when you start to make consecutive things that happen, a consistency within performances, good or bad, that you begin to believe that those are who you are at the end of the day, right? I mean, that's how this whole league works. Brian Flores talks about consistency all the dang time, and so far this team has consistently been sharp. They've consistently been, you know, low in the penalty count, and they've not made the mistakes that killed them like they did today. But we're going to talk about that in our final segment coming up on the other side here. Again, the final score from Miami, Buffalo 35, Miami 0. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
You're listening to the Dolphins on the Joe, WQAM, with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more, only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Guys, we're going to talk about Las Vegas here in just 1 second, but I want to go ahead and put these few notes in your ear before we get out of here for this episode, because I just continue to think that this was a game that you open the door at 30,000 feet above the surface and drop it out the airplane and say, we'll go on to the next one. Because 9 penalties, 83 yards, those are high water marks in the Brian Flores era. Devontae Parker dropped a ball in the end zone that is literally what he does better than anybody else in the league. High point the football and make contested catches, went right through his hands. I don't think we'll see that again this season. Albert Wilson drops a third down ball that might have been a touchdown, would have put you in position for first and goal if not a touchdown. Has another drop later on in the game. Jakeem Grant has a fumble on a play that would have set up a fourth and inches inside the 10-yard line. And with how aggressive this team was, they probably go for it there. And then Jaylen Waddle has a drop and a muff punt. So, Juice, I kind of go back to the point in the first segment here. Just punt this ball into the moon and send to the sunshine and get rid of it forever and just move on? Or is this something we have to worry about long term?
No, I don't think so. And we had a reporter that I truly respect, you know, make a comment about this being an elite group of receivers. It is a good, really good elite group of receivers. They had a really bad day as a group. Collectively, they weren't very, very good today. And I'm not too worried about, you know, ball security in terms of fumbles. That doesn't happen that often with these guys. The drops, we haven't seen a lot of those. Penalties, we never see that with this team. And what Coach Flo said that really had me perplexed is the missed assignments. Usually they're a smart team, too. So, I mean, what's especially with the group that I love the most, the receivers, they had a bad day as a whole, the team did, but the fumbles and drops. I even saw at one occasion young Waddle line up on the wrong side. There was just an injury timeout, and we lined up bad, and we had to take another timeout because we lined up coming out of timeout bad. So all that stuff, I don't expect that to happen, you know what I mean, moving forward with this team, because Coach Flo would not let that happen.
But yeah. Well, why does it happen now, though? You know, like, how come it happened in this game, I guess is my question, because this was the game that you kind of – in many ways, you almost kind of – don't you build your team in a way to beat the top dog in the division? Isn't that kind of the offseason's idea?
Or? Sitting there right for you, man. An opportunity. This is a big opportunity. Early in the season, I get it, Big Seth. I know Big Seth's like, man, it's only week two.
It's week two.
You imagine
he's
being
got
up,
his charger ready to get out of here
you
already.
Imagine being up.
I'm so focused on Las Vegas.
He's gone.
Already.
He's on to Las Vegas.
I'm over it, fellas.
But could you imagine, though, with a 2-0 lead in the division right now on those guys? That's huge, bro.
What's the old Harvey Green, Don Shula? I don't deal in hypotheticals. I'm not going to deal in a hypothetical situation. The Dolphins are not 2-0. They're 1-1. Can I imagine it? Sure. I can imagine it.
Our point right now, though, Seth, is that they should have been more focused and dialed in to be 2-0 this week, and they obviously were not.
I don't disagree.
We're not talking about the result now. We're talking about how they should have come out and played this damn game. I'm saying how they should have came out and played this game.
I agree with you 100% on that. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100% on that. I don't know. Did there was a lot of talk about watching what happened last year, the way the season ended. I don't want to question those decisions because it's so – well, hell, it's a post-game show. I guess it's what you do. But it's so easy to sit here in hindsight and just be a backseat driver. But – was there so much focus on the way they got beat down last year that they came out here pressing and expecting to do something and then it didn't happen and then you get punched in the mouth and you're down 14-0 and all of a sudden you start to say, here we go again? I don't know. I don't want to believe that's the makeup of this team. I certainly believe it's not the makeup of this coaching staff. That's right, not something right. that Flo is going to stand for. So to me, if you want to know what this team is about, let's see how they respond.
Yeah,
I think agree. That's the biggest thing. Who in the world wants to lose 35-0 ever? And certainly not to a divisional rival, and certainly not to one that has had your number. But how do you respond to it? At 1-1, I think they're going to be okay. There's an opportunity to make this a really great season. But how do you respond?
No, I love that point. And let's go to Juice. How do you respond after a game like this? We've talked about the film afterwards and the Sunday night, and you just go right over to the facility and watch the tape. Luckily, we're across the street. I can see it from here right now, so it's a quick drive over there to get that done. But how do you actually move on throughout the course of the week? What do you want to see from this Dolphins team this week in their media availabilities, in their practice, and finally on their game on Sunday? What do you want to see from Miami into week three?
Let's keep it 100 real quick here. First 2 weeks haven't been very good for us. We got away with a win last week, right?
Correct. That was the theme of the show, right? We got the win. That's all we
care
about.
We got the win. Remember, we talked about that. So even week one wasn't that good. Week two was even worse, obviously, because you got an L at the end of it. So there are a lot of corrections. I think that was the main thing that they had to talk about last week. They've got to continue along that this week. But I think the biggest thing is that we've got to get solid on our first five up front and make sure they're set to go. And then on top of that, you know, working with these group of guys. How big was the Will Fuller in-out situation going? How big was that for us this week? So many things, but every team deals with stuff like this. Next man up mentality is what X was talking about when he's talking about Jacoby taking over Tua. So these guys have to know how to go out there and be professional enough to make their own damn corrections as well. These aren't 12-year-old kids, not high school kids. You know, these are professionals. So whatever you did wrong today, if you did the same thing wrong last week, then we've got a problem with that player, you know. So right now it's all about watching film. They've got the game film right now. They got the sideline. They got the end zone copy right now. Take their asses home, watch it, and see how they can correct.
So how do you think this team, or how in general do you think distractions can play a part? Because this is a team that, and you know, this is one of the things that I always get upset about with reports or things that come out. Is like, can we just have a week where it's all kumbaya and we're all having a good time? Because like throughout the course of the offseason, there was all these trade rumors, all of these, you know, don't believe in the quarterback situations, which I never bought for a second, but it just wears on you as a fan, even as someone that works for the team. Do the players start to feel that with both the, you know, and I'm not going to even to validate it because it's not a thing right now, but the Deshaun Watson trade rumors and then also Will Fuller this week, does that stuff eventually start to wear on you?
Honestly, it shouldn't. It didn't affect me one bit. You know, all I was concerned about was my game plan. I had to worry about different game plans. I had to worry about special teams game plan, kickoff return, punt return, as well as all five positions. I played all five positions at wide receiver. You know, so I'm focused on what I have to do. You know, that's the reason I wasn't one of those guys sleeping in meetings. I wasn't late for anything. You know, I got too much work to do here. And it's so much easier for these guys to be prepared now. If I wanted to watch film, I had to be like Zach Thomas. Zach was there morning, noon, and night, but he had to watch in the facility because you couldn't take it home with you.
Right.
You know, these guys have no reason not to be prepared. There's not one move that defensive end can make that I haven't seen on film over and over again, because I can watch it in my bed before I go to sleep. I can watch it in the morning while I'm eating breakfast before I head to the facility. Then I'm going to watch it all day at the practice facility. There's nothing. Get so much work at home if you take it professionally like you're supposed to get that work done.
Well, that's the bottom line, right? You know, and all the things you're talking about, Travis, the reality is that's great for us. That's great for the people at home. We live and breathe on Twitter and, you know, what's on the podcast. We want to hear Drive Time. We're going to listen to the Fish Tank. We're going to, you know, read all the articles and all the different newspapers and everything else that's going on. These guys need to put their phones down, need to turn their televisions off, and just really kind of get insular and focus on what's happening in that building. They say it all the time, right? And so, you know, they need to kind of speak that into the universe and make it true and really just focus on the Raiders. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Because if they do listen to all of the noise, it could become a problem. It could become a problem. But to Juice's point, these are professionals, and it's great. You're in full control of the situation. Just turn it off. Yeah. Don't read the papers. Don't listen to what's going on television. Don't turn on talk radio, unless you want to listen to WQAM, of course. but realistically, those guys, we can afford those 53 guys not to listen to the radio, and everybody else can listen to it. They just need to focus on the film, the game plan, the Las Vegas Raiders.
And at the end of the day, there's still a one in the loss column. It's one loss, one game. The season's far from over. Got a long way to go. 15
games
left.
Not the slam dunk contest.
Down the
pike. Doesn't matter how pretty or ugly.
Exactly. No style points counting. There's no BCS system, none of that stuff. 1-1 is the situation right now. Tied for second place in the AFC East. So with that said here, I'm going to go ahead and put a wrap on this show, and hopefully next week it's a little more fun to talk about that game. The Drive Time podcast coming your way this week. All 5 days this week, we'll have a recap of the game, which you can listen to as well after this radio program here. And then we'll also break down the tape and get on to next week onto the Raiders. So plenty of stuff coming your way on Drive Time. Seth and OJ, what's coming up here on the Fish Tank this week?
Well, if you haven't caught John Offerdahl, it was a great episode. Yeah. Johnny O was fantastic. Anthony Harris was a Dolphins linebacker who played, I think, 96 to 99, Jimmy Johnson era. Maybe not the first guy that you think of, but Anthony was a great interview.
Oh,
one of the best voices that we've ever had in the Fish Tank and has some incredible stories, so definitely download the Fish Tank.
So plenty coming your way this week on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, and we also have the debut of our Instagram live show coming up on Friday. Go ahead and tease that out here for you guys. So Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, the Fish Tank with Seth and OJ, Drive Time with Travis Wingfield. Check us out on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Thank you to our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solano. Our studio producers, Robert Griepert, Matthew Wilson, and Danny Garcia. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray. For O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game was 35-0. Buffalo takes down Miami. Dolphins football will be back on the air next Sunday for Week 3. The Dolphins will travel to Las Vegas to face the Raiders. This has been the Fish Tank, the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.